SD Motorsports on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network.
This is the San Diego Motorsports Show on AM 1170, The Answer. If it's a car, motorcycle, boat, or anything else with an engine in San Diego, it's on the San Diego Motorsports Show. Now, here's your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. This is SD Motorsports, KCBQ AM 1170. This segment brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better than El Cajon Ford. 1595 East Main Street in El Cajon. First of the year, just started off. Well, guess what? They want to hit some numbers. Take a run down today and tomorrow. I'm sure they're open tomorrow. And make sure you tell them you heard it right here on KCBQ. Go to ElCajonFord.com, ElCajonFord.com. So we're going to kind of do a little tail over, finish it up on the car calendar.
Yeah.
Because it's starting to ramp up. We're going to see in another couple of weeks, yep. We're going to start seeing more and more car shows. So where would you like to go?
We are. Well, you know, every Saturday you've got the Rods and Relics in Fallbrook. Every Saturday you got the Clunkers and Dunkers in Bonita. At Carlsbad, these are all at 7 a.m. So mm-hmm. you got to do those. And then I wanted to add that every Saturday morning up in Aliso Viejo, in my neck of the woods, at the Aliso Viejo Town Center, 7 o'clock, there's a huge car show up there, too. And it's... show up, cars and coffee for 2 hours. People leave at 8:30, so be there on time. Same old thing. But it's if you're wanting to look outside of San Diego to go do something, that's what you should do. So don't forget, January 14th is Barrett Jackson in North Scottsdale, really? Just in case you want to go out there. And I'm thinking of it because my sister lives there. Might have to go to Scottsdale. And then January 14th also is the 30th annual burger run up there in Vista at the Pepper Tree Frosty. If it's raining, they'll do it on the 21st. So go to www.burgerrun, which has two R's in the middle, .info. Yeah. So, all right. And then on your first ever classic car show, are you ready for this? At the LA Convention Center on January 28th. This is going to be amazing. They're expecting 500 cars.
Really? What kind of cars?
Classics.
Who's putting it on? Do you know?
I do not know.
So it's not an auction. It's just like a good guys.
Right. It's a show. Yeah. And then also that same weekend, it's the whole weekend though, where is the 27th through 29th is the Grand National Roadsters in Pomona.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's their 68th year.
And they're putting it at the LA Convention Center this year.
No, sorry. The first ever classic car show is at the convention center.
Oh.
The Grand National Roadsters is still in Pomona. That's always been in Pomona.
Yeah.
In fact, they had Wayne Carini was there on his episode that I was watching last night. He did a little thing on it. Yeah. And Tim Allen was there. So you never know who you're going to run into.
Yeah. Tim Allen's big. He's big in the collection.
He loves cars. Right. Yeah, he was on Leno this season and everything. He's a goofball. He's a serious car guy.
He is a goofball, no doubt.
Yeah. All right, and I mentioned Dan Gurney's All-American Racers exhibit is opening January 28th at the Peterson. Oh, and if you have Auto Club, you can get a discount. Woohoo. Then February 24th and through 26th is the Big 3 Parts Exchange at the Q. Go to big3partsexchange.com for that.
We'll probably have Dave Keach on the line. He'll call in and tell us all about it.
Probably.
There you go. There's our clock. That way you can see.
I have 7 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then I don't have to turn around.
No, that's why every time you turn your head around, I'm going, let me turn the clock around, because I use the one on the wall. You can use the one there.
Thanks. And also, if you're planning your road trips, take a look at the Dr. George car show. That's in Indian Wells. So that's a nice trip, because that's not too far to go out to Palm Springs.
Uh-uh.
And that's February 11th. They've been doing that one for 15 years. That's put on by Palm Springs Cruising Association. Mm. Street rods, classics, muscle cars, and trucks and bikes. Pay attention to that one. In April, I know you're going to talk about the tribute, the IMSA dinner, but also in April is the La Jolla Concours d'Elegance. And that's April 7th through 9th this year.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to Chris. And he's telling me that they're done expanding it. They feel that they've gotten enough, they have enough participation.
Good.
But what they're going to do is refine things. They're going to make it better. So,
well, one of the things he needs to do, and I've got a guy that does it, and that's somebody that'll have the DJ or the sound system where the stage is, but have portable speakers all the way to the south end of the where all the cars are.
Yes, because
you can never hear anything down there.
Right.
That's one thing you really should do is enhance that. But that's good that they're. Yeah, I've emceed it a couple of times, and yeah, but it's a beautiful location, beautiful cars. Just do you know what the mark is this year?
No.
Yeah, we don't know yet.
No, they're still planning. No, don't know. So also the Good Guys Del Mar Nationals. That's in March. March 31st to April 2nd.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay. And then is there any other? Should I go over the usuals? Because there's all the usual suspects.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the Racing History Project. This is a deal where they're raising money, of course. And Dave Wolin is the organizer.
And that's April 1st.
Mm-hmm. So tribute to IMSA.com would be... where you'd want to go as far as the website. And it's going to be, like I said, it's going to kick off the Long Beach Grand Prix week. And it's so funny how they've got the Long Beach Grand Prix into a full week of celebration.
Yeah, and this isn't even in Long Beach.
No, it's in Pomona.
So, yeah, that's great, though.
So the Racing History Project, it's, like I said, it is a tribute to IMSA. And the dinner will take place at the NHRA Wally Parks Motorsport Museum in Pomona, Saturday evening, April 1st. And it'll be presented by Mazda Motorsports and sponsored by Vintage Racer Magazine, Autobook, Aerobook, and Vara. This event will honor and celebrate the history of the iconic IMSA series from the start by founder John Bishop through its sale to NASCAR in 1988. This first-time gathering will present a rare opportunity to hear stories of IMSA racing from the persons who were there at the beginning and made racing history. Invited IMSA drivers include Tommy Kendall, John Morton, Rick Knoop, Nick Craw, Jeff Klein, John Fitzpatrick, and a whole lot of others. And these are the people who were there and who have the personal stories to share of how it was. And, you know, we're talking grassroots racing, folks. I mean, these guys are the ones that a lot of cases drove the race car to the track. You know, and that's how they broke it in. I mean, it's just the stories are going to be huge. The night will feature a world-class dinner, a slide presentation of rarely seen photos by Mitch Bishop, the son of IMSA founder John Bishop. After that, a brief film and a roundtable discussion, which will include all of the previously mentioned IMSA stars along with other luminaries of the era.
What an opportunity.
Oh, I know. There will also be an exclusive autograph session, a silent auction featuring vintage memorabilia, all offered as components of a great late afternoon and evening with the sights, sounds, people, memories of one of the highlights of the evening will be the presentation of a very special motorsport award, the Peter Bryant Challenge Award, named for the legendary racing engineer and designer. This will be presented to the person who best epitomizes the spirit of the sport. Previously, Bryant Award honorees have included Howdy Gandler, Phil Remington, Trevor Harris, Bruce Burness, Alwin Springer, and most recently, Dan Gurney. And as is the custom with all Racing History Project events, a limited number of the tickets are sold or ever sold to assure that the event is a true insider experience. And for IMSA only, 100 fan tickets will be available. So if you haven't got them now, it might be too late. Each attendee receives a gift bag, a commemorative medallion, a limited edition poster, an event t-shirt depicting the glory years of IMSA. The on-site Sheraton Fairplex Hotel is a short walking distance to the museum and offers special rates to all tribute attendees. So www.tributetoimsa.com, tributetoimsa.com, or contact Dave at 559-760-1143. 3.
And the cost is $149.95 per person if you can get a ticket.
Yeah, worth every penny.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and take a quick break. I think I'm going to give Dave a call and see if we can't. Maybe we can see if I can get him on the line. Maybe he can talk about it. What's he got to lose? All right. Let's take a quick break here. You're listening to SD Motors.
AM 1170, The Answer.
All right, folks, hey, welcome back. You're listening to SD Motorsports, AM 1170, brought to you by Barona Circle Track, 1750 Wildcat Canyon Road in lovely Lakeside. Give them a call, 619-669-1303, or go to baronaspeedway.com for all your scheduling, what's going on. I'm telling you, it's a great place to be, and if you've never been there, you've totally lost out.
I haven't.
I know. Hey, I tell you what, we'll have to hook you up. I've got a couple of interviews I did, and one of them I really totally enjoy doing is a Henry Ford III. Talks about the Ford GT, since Barona took the day off today. Let's go ahead and take a listen to this. It was, I think, my first interview with Henry Ford III. Pretty impressed with that. All right, folks. You know, I got to tell you, this is one of my better interviews. I was shocked when I had the opportunity to talk to Henry Ford III. And, yes, he's on the line. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, I got to tell you, man, what a great time to be in the car biz, huh?
Boy, you're at. that is not an understatement. You're absolutely right.
That is not an understatement. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, the Ford GT supercar. Gosh, I mean, your jaw has to be sore from smiling.
It does. And you know, I've had the opportunity to see it a couple different times in a couple different colors. And every time I look at it, it's like I'm seeing it again for the first time. It's a beautiful car. It's really just a dramatic looking piece of machinery.
Well, it just goes to show you what you can do when you give your engineering team solid direction. I mean, this is the end result. I mean, this is, I think that's what, this is one of the first cars I've seen that it just sits there and it's just passion. The whole car is just passion.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you know, in a way, it's a little bit difficult because they have to take into account, you know, the original GT and capture some of that DNA,
right,
which I think they did. But at the same time, it's a completely all new forward looking vehicle. But it still has that, you know, hint of the original GT40 DNA. So right, it's just a wonderful vehicle.
Well, and I try to explain to people on my radio show, I go, you know, you guys say you want this, that, and the other, and the manufacturer would love to give you exactly what you wanted if all the safety folks will jump on board. And that's not going to happen in 99% of the time. Because I get the question, how come we don't have hood ornaments anymore? I said, because they impaled people, you knucklehead. That's why. You know, so the industry has evolved, and I got to hand it to, you know, the manufacturers, because, I mean, you've been able to, you know, every challenge that's been thrown at you, you guys have stepped to the plate. Government has not been your best friend. Airbag, for example, deployed too fast, caused burns. Then the government yelled at you because you did that. But yet, wait a minute, didn't you tell me how fast this thing was supposed to deploy? So, you know, and that's why I do what I do. But this car is absolutely stunning. I mean, this thing is amazing, and golly! So, you got any production numbers on this? What are you going to do, or is it going to be whoever orders it will get it?
Well, so we are. So on Wednesday, we are excited to open and launch our, I think it's our first ever online global customer application. So
really?
Anyone who is interested in purchasing and ordering a Ford GT should go online and complete an application. And, you know, when we kind of sat down a while ago and we were looking at the numbers, and, you know, when we built the Ford GT in 05, 06, we built about 4,000 of those. our maximum production of the all-new Ford GT is 250 cars per year, and that's globally.
Ah.
And then when you look at the fact that we have about 10,000 dealers globally, and really sort of an undetermined customer demand for this car, I mean, we knew we had to take a unique look at this program and really create a process that was thoughtful and fair and accessible to everyone. Because this car is truly a showcase of innovation and technology. And, you know, we really want to find those customers who will use this car and drive this car and be true brand ambassadors for Ford. So, you know, the application is really designed to help us understand where the demand is and understand folks' relationships to Ford and really get a sense for how they would enjoy driving a Ford GT. And so that's kind of what we're trying to do.
I totally agree. And I would put in that application, it cannot go to a museum. You have to drive it. It has to burn rubber. It has to burn gas. It has to drive. Kills me when these guys will take a car and stick it in a museum. What are you kidding me? Come on. That's not what it was for. I mean, it's to be out, get out there and drive.
So absolutely.
Tell us, we
would agree with you.
Can you talk about some of the, I mean, what type of transmission it has in it? Are you allowed to talk about anything about the car at this point in time?
You know, we are still
a little bit quiet on it.
We're still keeping a little quiet on some of the details, but, you know, it's the things that I can talk about, you know, they're kind of three things that that stick out in my mind. The first is the powertrain. So it's going to have our 3.5-liter V6 EcoBoost engine, which is going to push out over 600 horsepower. And you know, we really, I mean, this is the ultimate, I think, execution of our EcoBoost technology. And we've really pushed it to the limit here, and both in terms of power, but also in terms of efficiency. And, I mean, there is not a single millimeter on this car that has not been analyzed and reanalyzed for space and weight and aerodynamic and everything you can imagine. So this is the ultimate in efficiency and power. You know, carbon fiber tub, aluminum substructure, advanced aerodynamics. I mean, we're doing things on this car that we've never done before,
sure.
which is awesome. But the other part is that, you know, we're learning things on this car, especially in terms of, you know, how to work with materials like carbon fiber and more of a mass production environment that eventually we think will be passed down to the rest of the Ford lineup. And so ultimately, you know, whether or not you ever actually own a Ford GT, we really think a lot of our customers will benefit from the technology. And that's really one of the exciting pieces of this.
Well, and you're absolutely right. And you know, and I only bring up that museum thing because a good friend of mine, Carl, has the original, you know, GT. He drives it. And he's happy as a clam because he bought it at one price and now it's doubled or tripled. And I think that's what's going to happen with this new GT as well. And I know I'm an old guy. 3.6 liter V6, 600 horse. You drive. You must have 26 turbos hanging off of this thing someplace. But that's not the case at all. That EcoBoost, when you guys came out with that system, my gosh, I think you guys knocked it out of the park. And now everybody's trying to come up with that same concept. And I you know, I tell people, until you get behind the wheel and drive it, don't talk negatively about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really been a great powertrain for us, and we've got it in over 5 million vehicles now, and you know, it really is a win-win situation for people looking for both you know, fuel efficiency and power. So it's been a great story for us.
When do you think the car will actually get to the dealers?
We are looking at building our very first units toward the end of this year.
Okay.
So you know, late 2016.
Wow. So if, by talking to you, does that mean I get to go on the press event?
I think so. I think it does.
Wait a minute. You didn't even get to drive it yet.
No, I have not. We have a couple of you know, engineering test units that are driving around here, but you know, unfortunately, it's the development drivers who get to drive it, and unfortunately, my skills are not quite up to par, so I've not had any seat time yet, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Show them your business card.
That's, I know, it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Is it, well, yeah, well, isn't that the way the Ford family's always been? There's no free lunch.
Yeah.
There's no free
true.
Lunch. You're working. And what do you do with Ford Motor Company now?
So I'm the marketing manager for Ford Performance,
See?
Which is you know, this our new kind of performance umbrella brand that we formed last year. The year before, and, and you know, as you know, it's kind of a combination of Ford Racing and
sure.
SVT and Team RS, because you know, back in the day we had all these different sort of performance groups, and under sort of the one Ford philosophy here at Ford, we wanted to really kind of combine them all and make sure that we were all working together to create both great race cars and great road cars. So I get to do the marketing for those great vehicles, which is a lot of fun.
So I guess it's not such a bad job after all.
It's not a bad gig. No, I can't complain.
Well, just so you'll know, I do a green show, I do a general automotive show, and I do a motorsport show. So you and I are going to become good friends because you guys are stellar in all three categories.
Yeah.
So
well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And you know Mark Maynard?
I do, yeah. It sounds familiar.
Well, he's the editor of the Union Tribune wheel section down here in San Diego where I'm
at. That's right.
So I've actually have to pay him, and he's my co-host on all three radio shows. So it's really raised our bar, and I would love to have had him sitting here chatting with you, but unfortunately he went to another press event that I chose to do this versus going to that, and it is the Acura NSX, I will have you know. But that's okay. I'm a GM kind of guy, Ford kind of guy, and a Chrysler kind of guy. You know, I like the domestics, and I like them all. I shouldn't even say that.
Yeah. All right.
Well, hey, this has been an absolute joy talking to you. This will air Sunday, so we're not going to break any embargoes. And again, where can people go to apply?
So if you head to www.4gt.com, you'll find our configurator, you'll find a link to the application, you'll find a bunch of pretty cool photos and videos, and so it's a great site.
That's excellent. And by the way, you got a really good guy in John Delmonico. In fact, I don't think you got anybody out there any better than that guy.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, he's the best. All right. Well, he always gets flushed when I say tell people how great he is, but hey, somebody's got to do it, right?
Yeah.
All right, Henry. Thank you very, very much. And I truly look forward to talking to you down the road because I think you're going to have enough stuff to talk about to probably take care of all three shows.
Well, thank you, Dave. I appreciate that. It's been a pleasure talking to you, too.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye. All right. You know, that is the most down-to-earth guy you ever want to meet in your whole life, Henry Ford III.
And who knew, right?
And who would have thought?
Wow.
Yeah, I am telling you, it's just absolutely amazing. Hey, we're going to be Scott Delosio. He is not calling in, but let me get to the little note that he sent me as to who is. And it looks like defending USAC Western Midget Champion Ronnie Gardner is going to be calling in. And he is going to talk about his four championships in a row. And he's going to be heading to the Chili Bowl in Tulsa, Oklahoma next week. And Michelle is going to see if we can stump Mr. Gardner.
With the question.
See if he can tell us where the name Chili Bowl, where did that actually come from? Who came up with that brainy idea? So he's on the line, so he probably heard the question. So he's probably got his phone out, and he's Googling, you know, where did the chili come from on the Chili Bowl? But we'll find out. And Ronnie's great driver, great interview, just a great, great ambassador to the sport. So we'll go ahead and take our break just a tad early, and that way we can get him back on the line right here on SD Motorsports, KCBQ AM 1170. We are the answer.
AM 1170, the answer.
She's got a ticket to ride. She's got a ticket. She don't care.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to SD Motorsports right here on KCBQ AM 1170. This segment is brought to you by the good folks at Paris Auto Speedway. Nobody beats Paris Auto Speedway when it comes to quality racing, let me tell you. Absolutely amazing. In fact, we got a race coming up this Saturday. But right now, we're going to be talking to Ronnie Gardner. And he's going to talk to us about the Chili Bowl coming up. How you doing, sir?
Oh, not too bad. Just enjoying my day off, watching some Tulsa shootout.
There you go.
I'll see you.
So that sounds great. So, hey, Michelle had a question for you.
Hi, Ronnie.
Hi.
So why do they call this thing next week the Chili Bowl?
Well, it's not next week.
I heard you.
Oh. Yeah.
The week after.
The week after. Sorry.
I heard you guys talking, thinking maybe I'll Google it. But no, actually, from what I recall, the first Chili Bowl Nationals, I think back in 88 or 87 or some whatever year it was, Chili Company sponsored the event, the inaugural event. And I think they sponsored it for a couple years after that, and then the name just stuck till now.
Ah, okay.
Very good. You didn't even have to Google it. So now, have you won that four times in a row or just four championships in a row?
What's that? The Chili Bowl?
Yeah.
No, I've never won the Chili Bowl.
Oh, is that what you would... I mentioned to Michelle that's kind of like the Indy 500 of dirt.
It is. I mean, it's the Indy 500 of, I guess you could say, midget racing. It's, 360 cars going for 24 spots. So it's the competition level's way up there. You got people from every types of racing, midget sprint cars, wing sprint cars, you know, even people that race asphalt or late models or modified, they all end up finding a midget ride and coming to the Expo Center for one race a year.
Yeah. So this is something that you definitely want on your resume if you can pull it off.
Yeah, I mean it's big. It's big just to make them a main. You know, I've been racing it for 6 years, and I think I've came up short from making the a main within three or four spots 5 of the 7 years or 8 years that I've ran it. So it's hard just to make it to the a main. I mean, it's hard even to make it to the b main.
Wow.
You know, if you make it to the b main, you ran fourth through seventh on your prelim night, or transferred from a c main. And Just to get in the A main, it's a lot of luck, and you got to be good, but you also got to be lucky.
Right. Do you have to do anything special or different to your car at the Chili Bowl versus anywhere else you went? I mean, I know the bar's raised a little bit higher because of competition, but are the rules still the same no matter what, and it's just still luck and driver ability, I guess?
Well, the rules are a little different to where there's almost no rules. I mean, you got to have a roll cage and you got to have Nerf bars, but there's no weight rules. So as light as you can get the car, the lighter you get the car, the better. You know, there's pretty much no body rules. So people kind of come up with some different designs and innovate that way. So we do quite a few things different for Chili Bowl that we don't do, you know, during the regular outdoor season.
Right.
As far as drivetrain and you know, lightening up the car and changing stuff around to make it a little better on the indoor track.
That sounds fun.
Probably more of a challenge than fun, would you say?
Oh, yeah. Every year we come back with something a little different, trying to be better from the year before. I mean, our team, we got a small team. We don't really got a lot of, you know, backing as far as funds go. So 75% of what we have on our race car is built in-house. Not bought, so
wow.
Which kind of gives us an advantage to where we can try some things that other people can't because of, you know, that advantage.
Right. Who sponsors your car?
Actually, we lost a few sponsors in the off season, which is kind of disappointing. But you know, all good things come to an end eventually. But Esslinger Engineering, they build the engines for us. They've always been a huge help. I used to work there about 3 or 4 years ago, but they still help us with a lot of things as far as engine package goes. And CSI Shocks, you know, a shock company out of Indiana, they've helped us from day one, you know, back when we started 6 years ago when we were building the team. And Rod and Supply has helped us. Schroeder Torsion Bars, Pack Springs, they've been huge, you know, with the suspension products, and they've, you know, they sponsored us from day one as well. We don't really got a lot of sponsors, just kind of a little group, little family we got going there.
Right. So I'm sure you're looking for sponsorship, correct?
Oh, always. We're always looking for sponsors. We really want to travel this year. We want to go back and run in Indiana and Indiana Midget Week, and maybe even Power Eye Midget Week. You know, we're trying to put some funds and stuff together to go do that, you know, to race on the national level and see what we can do. So we're looking, you know, we're always looking for sponsors or partners to, you know, help us get us to the racetrack.
Where are you located?
I live in Corona, California.
Have you been to KUSI? Have I dragged you down there yet?
No, you have not.
Well, I tell you what, I would love to maybe get you down as early as next weekend, either a Saturday or a Sunday. I have to look at my schedule, and if you don't mind loading the car up and coming down it's a 3 to 4 minute segment. But let me tell you, it's the number one watch morning show in San Diego, and I've gotten sponsorship for people. You know, just people would see you on air, and I go, oh, yeah, I want to definitely support them. One lady supported a guy out of Barona. I think she supported him for the whole season. She was a real estate company, and she believed in what he was trying to do. And your story, and if you want to do it, you got a pencil?
You know, we'd love to, but actually the truck and trailer is leaving for Tulsa on Thursday.
Is the race car going with it?
Oh, yeah. So,
all right, well, let's do this. Do you have another car, a backup car, or are you guys going with it too?
Yeah, we're taking two cars, and that actually got a teammate this year in Jake Swanson. You know, he races out of Paris as well.
Sure.
He might have been on your show once or twice, but both cars and basically everything we own are going in that trailer to go to Tulsa on Thursday. But when we get back, for sure would love to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and because like I said, I did a couple of guys, a father-son team that went to Bonneville and mm-hmm. broke six records. And I mean, so I'll do anything I can to get you, your car, your team on video. Because then that way, when you go look for sponsorship, and you can do it as of today, you know, if you find somebody that's on the fence or they can't decide whether or not they want to sponsor with you or not, say, look, I'll get you on the only motorsport show in San Diego, and he's been doing this for over 30 years. And it won't cost you a dime. I mean, if you can charge him whatever you want. But if that helps, I'll do it. Television, you know, when you do decide to come down, if you got somebody that's interested, bring them down, put them on TV. I got no problem doing that if it'll help you out.
We would love to. Anything to not only just, you know, help us out or promote the sport would be, you know, I'd love to do it.
Absolutely. No, I'm more than happy to do it. Only because, you know, I know how tough it is. I mean, and for you to be able to win four championships on a limited budget, you know, that's saying something. That means, you
know, talent.
It's talent. You got not only in the driver, but in the team itself, whoever sets the car up, whoever does the engines. I mean, you know, that's you should be extremely proud of what you've done and where you ended up in that short term, 6 years.
I mean, it's definitely, you know, these last, I guess it'd be five, I guess we've been together for 5 years and we've won close to something like 10 different championships.
Jeez.
On a team that, you know, I got in the car, I think it was the second race that he'd ever even owned a car. Mitchell Johnson's my car owner. He's actually younger than I am. And, you know, he went to school and got an engineering degree. And his dad, Walt Johnson, and the Johnson family always ran, you know, midgets and TQs, you know, across the state of California. And, you know, we got hooked up and ran a couple races and there in, I think it was 2012 and then 13, we decided to go full time and run the full Western midget schedule. And we ran the VRA, which is a Ventura Racing Association schedule that year too. And we won both those championships. And it was, it kind of just like came out of nowhere. You know, I started racing when I was 20 years old, didn't get to race a quarter midget or a micro or anything like that. And actually first thing I ever drove was a 410 sprint car at Paris, but I never thought I'd win a race, let alone championship. So it's been a dream come true for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is truly, truly awesome. Well, I had an opportunity to get behind the wheel of one up at Barona. I don't know if it was a 410. I have to look. Non-winged, Randy Waitman's car, number 69.
Oh, okay, I know Randy.
Yeah, so Randy says, hey, you want to drive it? And I said, really? You're going to let me drive it? He goes, yeah, if you think you can handle it. I said, two conditions. He goes, what's two conditions? One, I go out by myself. Two, if I wreck it, I don't pay for it. He goes, okay. I went, really? So he told me like nine things you're supposed to do, you know, pull this, turn that.
And you listen to none of them.
I just hammered it. It was like going to the rodeo, coming out of the chute. I must have done, I don't know, I did about 10 laps, and I come back in, and he goes, you swear you never driven one before? I said, no, I really didn't. He says, you really look good. I said, how are my times? Your times were decent. I said, well, let me go out again, and I'll open my eyes. That was the wildest. That I've never done anything like that in my life. And I mean, I'm dead. I mean, I don't even think I breathed for 10 laps. But and to go out there with how many cars are you going to go out there on the track with? Are you kidding me?
Right. How many did you say? How many did you say are in the Chili Cup?
Yeah.
Or the Chili Bowl?
Yeah.
Wow. That's insane.
Well, I call it ballet on dirt.
I mean, it pretty much is. And to quote, I guess, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. About the Chili Bowl, he says it's fighter jets in a gymnasium.
Oh, that's perfect. Wow.
That's absolutely – yeah, I'll write that one down because, no, it's crazy. Because it's not like any other race you go to because it is indoor, right?
Yeah, it's indoor. It's a really tight – I guess they call it a quarter mile, but I don't know if you could call it a quarter mile.
Yeah.
Yikes.
It's small and tiny and gets pretty narrow at times, so it's fun.
Yeah.
You know, the crowd and the atmosphere makes it that much more exciting.
Do you have
roll out on the ramp Friday night, and you got people, it's like people to the ceiling on both sides.
Did they do it with the pole positions and things like that, qualifying? And
no, there's actually no qualifying. Basically what you do is you pull a pill for your heat race, and then there's passing points. It's like a passing point system, you know, depending on how many cars you pass and where you finish. And you accumulate points over the night, and then it puts you in, either lock you into an A main or a B or C on your qualifying night. And then you run your qualifying night A main. The top three go to the main on Saturday. I think it's 4 through 8 or 4 through 10 or something, go to a B main and so on. Mm-hmm. So, and they start at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. Everybody races on Saturday. And I think they started with a, I don't even know what main, K or a J, two J mains last year. Like, they run two of every main all the way up to the A main. So it's a lot of racing on Saturday.
Do they do the pill program because there's just so many people?
Yeah, I mean, there's 360 entries, so they break them down into 4 qualifying nights. So you're talking 80 or 90 cars on just your qualifying night. So to qualify all those, it would take probably an hour and a half, 2 hours to do that. So yeah. They just scratch qualifying, use a passing point system with a qualifier, which is actually pretty fair. You know, it's actually a pretty good system.
Well. So what is the draw? I mean, is it $1 million purse? Is it 2, you know, grandfather clocks? Is it a bowl of chili? What packs that place?
Bragging rights, I mean. Surviving.
They call it a golden driller. Basically, the building that the Chili Bowl is in, it's Tulsa Expo Center. It's the, I want to say it's the biggest, like, freestanding building in the world. Like, no like pillars in the center, but outside the front there's a big golden like oil driller guy. You'd have to look it up. It's like a big statue.
Yeah.
And they call him the golden driller. So the trophy is like a replica of the driller that's out front.
Wow. All right. Well, hey, I'm going to have to let you go. Do me a favor. Get a hold of Scott Delosio. Get my email address. Send me an email, and I'll set up a date for you. So when you guys come back, you know, win, lose, or draw, you know, don't even clean the car. Leave it exactly the way. All right. Michelle just, I don't know.
I pulled up the golden driller.
That's quite a trophy, my friend. That's quite the trophy.
He's naked.
I'm not going any farther than that. All right, buddy. Hey, we're going to let you take off, and then send me that email. I'd love to set you up for KUSI.
I appreciate it, and I will. I'll get with you with that, and I appreciate your guys' time having me on the show.
Thanks, Ronnie. Have a good Happy New Year,
and a Happy New Year to you and your crew. And definitely, we'll get you back on. We're gonna get some money in your pocket, and we're gonna get you one of those Chili Bowl wins. And you, and if you win, you got to call back and let us know how well you did.
Oh, I for sure will.
All right, buddy. Take care. All right, we're gonna take a small break, folks. When we come back, I'm gonna go ahead and run the Tommy Kendall interview. So what I'm going to do is we'll get that Tommy Kendall interview going as soon as we get back on KCBQ AM 1170. We are the answer.
Way down in Louisiana, down in New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the evergreens.
AM 1170, the answer.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to SD Motorsports right here on KCQ AM 1170. Segment brought to you by Certified Car Care. Looking for a discount on a dyno pull? 11370 North Woodside Avenue. Go to CertifiedCarCare.net, CertifiedCarCare.net. All right, we're going to run Tommy Kendall. It's a long interview, but I definitely want to catch most of it because that all goes towards that IMSA event coming up. So take a listen. All right. Hey, folks, I've got Tommy Kendall on the line, commonly known as TK, and he's got himself wrapped up in Watkins Glen and a little Trans Am racing. How you doing, bud?
No complaints, man. All good. All good. I'm a little worried about my condominium down in Florida, which is right in the path of Hurricane Matthew, but that's out of my hands, so I'll just wait and see, see what the aftermath brings.
Well, that's what they have insurance for, right?
That's right.
At least you're not down there. That's really the most important thing because, I mean, people are still hanging out down there, and I think that's totally ridiculous. You need to pack your gear and get out of Dodge and go back and look at it this way. You can have a new garage or something.
I'm all for being brave when it is something. But in racing, you gotta know the risk-reward. And as far as I see, there's no reward there.
You don't give
any bonus points for being brave in that situation. Yeah. So get the hell out of Dodge.
Thank you very much. You know, since I got you online, and I know you knew him quite well, but I guess you heard about Brock Yates passing away.
I did. I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I knew he was, you know, ailing and so forth, but I was surprised how much it bummed me out. You know?
Yeah.
And then reading a lot of people's comments online, I think he had kind of an outsized influence on people in the car world. You know, he was just one of those guys that had a lot of charisma and authenticity, I think. I think, you know, people were drawn to him. And so, you know, he called a lot of my early races on with Steve Evans on the American Sports Cavalcade.
Yep.
You know, and I remember, you know, when I was early days, you know, you'd race and then you'd rush home and you'd watch the race on TV and you know, he just, both he and Steve together, Steve obviously died at a young age. So, it was, you know, it's, I guess, part of the deal. Like they say, life, no one gets out alive. But, it's still not easy when it happens.
And it's funny, I've just finished reading Porsche by Adler, and it was the history of the 356. And, of course, it talks about all the racing and how, you know, that started, and then he passed away. And that all kind of, you know, it's all that era, you know, the 50s and really the 60s. I mean, that's where I grew up. And you know, that's when racing was racing, and there wasn't a lot of advertisers, you know, dictating what you did and who drove what. And, yeah, it was tough getting a ride. But, you know, I just love reading about the history of motorsports. I mean, it's, you know, back in the day when you'd get in a Ferrari and you would drive it to the racetrack, and that's how you broke it in and got it all running. I mean, no heat, no, you know, none of that stuff. Those were the days.
Well, that's part of what this event
at
the International Motor Racing Research Center is all about is, you know, it's going to touch on the two kind of golden eras of Trans Am, late 60s, early 70s, and then, you know, late 80s and through the 90s. So, you know, there's certain periods and eras in any endeavor that really resonate. I mean, there's a natural tendency towards nostalgia, you know.
Sure.
With Arnold Palmer passing away, you think, oh, man, those are the best days. And so I think it just goes to show you don't fully appreciate stuff while it's happening. And so, you know, we're in the middle of some of them right now. But those were definitely, in hindsight, it was easy to see those two eras were special. And so, you know, I was lucky to be, I took part in two kind of golden eras. One was the Trans Am through the 80s and 90s, and then that era of GTP when the cars were kind of like the Can-Am of the 70s. I was lucky to take part in kind of the modern-day versions of those two things.
And those, to me, those are my favorite years. I mean, maybe because I was young, I don't know. But, you know, always wanted to be a race car driver. You know, I even joined the Army so I could, you know, go to Germany and buy a Lotus Super 7 and build it in the auto shop so I could, because Britain, the only place that had race, you know, driving schools. Of course, they sent me to Korea, but that's another story. So, the panel you've got, Chuck Cantwell, John Woody Woodward, Lee Dykstra, Don Cox, and Butch Leitzinger, and Amy Ruman. My God, talk about the who's who of Trans Am.
Yeah, you know, it's and whenever you get a bunch together, you've got an agenda or an idea where it's going to go, but you never have any idea where it's going to go, which is the fun of it. So,
yeah.
You know, it's funny. I remember when I was young, before I could race, I would go to my dad's races with my camera, and I would take all these pictures. And it was, you know, back then it was film.
Yeah.
To get the film developed. So I'd come home with all these rolls of film, and my mom would pay to get them developed. You know, she was indulging my passion and so forth. And it would just be roll after roll after roll of cars. She's like, you got to take some pictures of the people. I'm like, oh, no, it's cars. And then, you know, as you get a little older, you realize that's part of what makes the cars come to life is the people. And so, and the drivers obviously get a disproportionate share of the attention, but, you know, through the years in every sport, you've got some real characters behind the scenes too.
Are you kidding? Carroll Shelby comes to mind. I don't know why, but he just popped into my head. Anybody that would wear bib overalls at Le Mans to make a point, you know, that's my kind of driver.
Yeah, well, Enzo Ferrari, Mokey Unic, on and on and on. Dale Inman back in the old NASCAR days, et cetera. So I'm looking forward to it. I have actually, I should admit this, I have not been to the research center. So I've been wanting, it's been on my list for a while, but
it's on my bucket list.
Out of town when I go there, and so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I guess if people happen to be in the area, this forum will be open to the public?
Yes, it's free admission, I believe.
Yeah.
Free admission.
Yeah, get there at 1 o'clock. That's at 610 South Decatur Street in Watkins Glen. I know we're in San Diego, but, I mean, there are people that can listen to the show all over the world. If you happen to be in the area, I highly recommend you stop by, because you'll be hearing Trans Am stories that you probably have never heard nor read about.
Well, and for those that can't go, I'm actually looking at the website. It's www.racingarchives.org, and it's becoming, you know, a resource for racing history. And a lot of people that are, you know, getting older are donating their collections of memorabilia and records and so forth. And so, whether you can make it this time or not, hopefully talking about it with you and so forth gets it on people's maps.
Right.
So when they're planning their tours through the Northeast, they can put it on their list.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I do so much radio, and a few years back I was doing an aviation show, and I started bringing in World War II pilots and B-17, you know, and got these guys on tape, and it was amazing because their families always came in with them, and they would always pull me aside. Almost every single family member pulled me aside and says, I heard stories today I have never heard, ever.
Right.
And
right.
I think it's the same thing, like when you don't sit down at a cocktail party and talk Trans Am racing to people that don't understand or don't know anything about Trans Am racing, because it's not what you do. You have to be in an arena of people that know what you did, and it can talk the talk. I think that's the same thing with pilots and from wars gone by. And I think it's so important that we capture these guys some way, somehow, and get them on tape, if nothing else, for our kids, our grandkids, and everybody else to really understand what they went through. And Trans Am racing is exactly the same thing when you really come right down to it. Look at the first Trans Am car versus the Trans Am cars of today, or the ones that are equivalent to it. You know, they're night and day different. So I think it's important that we, you know, get guys like you and Chuck and John and Dykstra and Dot, get all these people on tape, you know, just for future references. I mean, because like you said, we don't go out of this thing alive.
Well, while we're waxing nostalgic, there's something to be learned there. I've thought of doing it just with your parents. And,
oh,
you know, again, nobody thinks about it till they're gone. And so,
whoa,
you know, with film being literally free now, you know, just, you know, it's hard to do. And you always think, oh, I'll have time and all this. But just, you know, it'd be fun to sit down with a list of questions and just interview them.
Wow.
And then just see where it goes. And I suspect you would hear stories you'd never heard before, you know? And then so for subsequent generations and so forth, that would be cool. But, you know, talking about Trans Am, you know, Trans Am went on hiatus for a little bit. It disappeared, and now it's come back. And
run the rest of that interview a little bit later on. The Gun Sports Radio guys are in here locked and loaded, so I guess I better get off air here pretty soon. It's been a wonderful day. Hopefully you've enjoyed Michelle and I's show. You did a great job, by the way, kiddo.
New Year to everybody.
And drive safe and remember the laws. as Michelle brought them to you. Right here on KCBQ AM 1170, we are the answer.
SD Motorsports on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Love Radio Network.